Well, God bless you. As always, it is a joy and a blessing being with you. Because we get to magnify and to exalt God's name together, our Daddy. Not only do we get to fellowship with each other, but we also get to fellowship with Daddy together. You know, it's like Derek Hurd in the manifestation of tongues with interpretation. Can't do that manifestation without Father being present. I don't care if it's speaking in tongues, He's there to give the utterance. Where a prophecy, He's there to give you the word to speak. All the other manifestations operate the same way. Without Him, you cannot operate. But here in fellowship, we get to do the worship manifestations. We get to do that with Daddy ourselves. So when Larry spoke in tongues and interpret, that was Daddy working with him and in him to do that. So it's a tremendous thing to have this fellowship one with another. So tonight, we're going to continue to look at what we were enjoying a couple of weeks ago. It's titled, To Know Me. So please go to Jeremiah 9:23. It says, Thus saith the Lord. So who's doing the talking? God. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So that's pretty much wraps up what man gets to glory or to boast in. His wealth, his wisdom, his might. And God says, but in contrast to that, let him that glorieth or boasteth in this. He that understandeth, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, saith the Lord. See, this is what he, our heavenly Daddy, says to get excited about, to really get into, is to understand and to know him. He declares that in his word. That's what we were looking at the last time. And in Titus, we learn, go to Titus 3, please. Verse 4 says, But after the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Romans, please. That outpouring of that Holy Spirit, that gift that sealed us, made us His children. That's what we're going to read in Romans chapter 8. Verse 14 says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, that lifestyle again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Remember, we looked at those wonderful records, which God declares so many wonderful things about Himself. You know, that He is a great God. There, among the gods, there is none like unto Him. That He is a God that doeth great and wondrous things and wondrous works. There's no works compared unto His works. There's no God to be compared unto Him. That His greatness is unsearchable, and that the secret things belong to God. But yet what He's revealed is ours. Once He's revealed it, it's ours. So when He shares His hearts with us, those heartfelt thoughts He declares that He's given us, that we know that His thoughts are far above man's thoughts, that His ways are so far above man's ways, that we're to know that, so that we can think that way, that we can know how to pursue this, Because to think man's thoughts is to think so far below what God thinks, to think so wrongly, because what God declares is right. So we just continue grabbing a hold of those scriptures which he declares and which he gives us that we may know him. And we get to know him as the Abba, the Father. Remember in Genesis 1:1, he's God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. He's the creator. In Genesis 17:1, he presents himself to Abram as the most powerful God, or the Almighty God, the El Shaddai. You know, and in Exodus 6, he tells Moses to tell Israel that I'm the Lord. I will become whatever they need me to become, whatever they need me to become. That is who he is. That's what he's declared. And yet, on the end of it, we get to call him Abba, Father, Daddy, Pap, however it works. You know, that's what he has given us. He's the God of the Scriptures. That's what he declares. That is who we get to address in our prayers, in our hearts. And that's what that relationship Jesus Christ wrought and taught. You know, that when he prayed unto the Father. And he knew who his God was. Just like we know that our Abba is that creator of the heavens and the earth. That we know that he's the Almighty, the most powerful God. That he is the Lord who will become whatever Israel needed him to become. Well, we get that too. It's all wrapped up in one big package. So please, go to Psalms 9. We're just going to continue on just looking at some of this tremendous stuff. You know, a great place to get a wonderful start on looking at what we've been looking at is in Reverend Walter Cumming's book, Scripture Consulting, Select Studies. In chapter 2, it's the God of the Scriptures, and in chapter 4, it's the use of a name. It will really give you some tremendous insight, you know, for your own spiritual enrichment and enjoyment. You'll just get really blessed. So in Psalms 9, it says in verse 10, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." You know, when you pour your heart out to the Father, you know, he's never going to forsake those. And we're his kids, remember, by that new birth spirit. Remember, age of grace attitude when you come back. Always thinking that way. You know, here he just tells us that they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. How can you put your trust in somebody if you don't know them? And all that wonderful stuff. So go to Proverbs 18. Verse 10, it says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You know, it's a figure. But that Lord, he's the strong tower. God's our strong tower. You know, we run into it, we're safe. Nothing's getting past him. Nothing's getting to him to get to us. You know, that's who we know. That's what we're supposed to know. That's why he gave us his word, so that we may know that. Remember his thoughts and all those wonderful heartfelt thoughts that he's given us. Once it's been given, it's ours to hold on to lay claim to, because it's ours. Go to Jeremiah 10, please. You know, and in his word, he declares attributes, characteristics, and accomplishments. And we read a few of those characteristics in Jeremiah 9. Here in Jeremiah 10, verse 10, it says, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation." He declares that he is the true God. He is the living God. Go to John 17, please. Gospel of John. Verse 1. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, to know God, his Father, the only what? True God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. See, Jesus Christ knew who his Father was. He was the true God, the only true God. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 4. Verse 22 says, "For my people, foolish, they have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Why? Because they have no knowledge of him. They do not know him. Yet Jesus Christ declared that they would know through him that he is the true God, the living and true God that we're reading about. That's what he declares. That's what he means. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 9. "For they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." That's what he declares. That's who our daddy is. That's getting to know him. Please go to Deuteronomy 32. Verse 4. It says, "He, God, is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth. Without iniquity and right is he." He's the God of truth. That's what he declares about himself. The God of truth. Psalms 31. Verse 5. "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord." God of what? Truth. He's the God of truth. He declares that. Psalms 138, please. This is incredible stuff. I get excited when I look at this stuff in God's Word. You know, why shouldn't I get excited? He says it's something to get excited about. Not man's riches, not man's wisdom, not man's strength, but to know and understand him. That's it in a nutshell. Verse 1 says, "I will praise thee with my whole heart." Not part of the heart, but the whole heart. "Before the gods will I sing praises unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth." Remember, he's the God of truth. "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Isn't that incredible? God's most wondrous work that cannot be compared to by anybody or anything was his word. He magnified that. And in that word, he declares his heartfelt thoughts to us. And we get to know God Almighty, the Creator, the Jehovah, who we call Abba. We get to know him through this word, which he magnified above his name. And he's the God of truth. And how tremendous that is, because later on we'll see he does not lie. He cannot lie. In Titus 1 it says he cannot lie. In Numbers it says he's not a man that he should lie. So he is the God of truth, and truth never changes. Once he's revealed something, it's there. It's anchored. It cannot change because he's the God of truth. What a tremendous thing for a man or woman's heart to know, to cling to hold fast to. Go to Deuteronomy 7, please. Verse 9. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." So this wonderful Abba that we have, the God of the Scriptures, is the God of truth. He's the living and true God. And here he's the faithful God. Go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That full sharing, that fellowship with one another, we call Abba. Remember, I started the fellowship by saying that we get to magnify God together. We get to exalt his name together. We get to fellowship together with him. And that's what we've been called to. And he's faithful to that calling, to that full sharing. That relationship, which is so intimate, we get to call him Abba, knowing all those other credentials, the accomplishments, the attributes, the characteristics. You know, in Genesis 1:1, remember, God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. Is that not a tremendous accomplishment? Remember, the word he magnified above his name. That's what he's given us, so that we can know that his thoughts are higher than man's thoughts. His ways higher than man's ways. So we can think as he thinks, not as man thinks. Because to think man's ways is to think so far below what Daddy would have us to think. And here he's telling us that he's faithful. He's the faithful God. Titus, please. Chapter 1. Verse 9, it says, holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. See, it's holding fast. We hold fast to that faithful word. Why? Well, because he's a faithful God. And you cannot separate God from his word. So if God's a faithful God, then his word has to be faithful. So we hold fast to that faithful word. We hold fast to our faithful God, who is the living and true God. You know, who is the God of truth. And who's our Abba. Boy, just keep running this stuff together in your heart. It just keeps getting better and better and better. Go to Deuteronomy 32. I'm sorry, we already been there. Go to Psalm 68. Most people get ahead of themselves. I go backwards. Verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation or our deliverance. Selah, consider what I say. He that is our God is the God of deliverance or salvation. And unto God the Lord belongeth the issues from death. See, he is a God of deliverance. That's what he does. That's what he declares. Therefore, that's who we go to and we hold fast to. Go to Psalms 34, please. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. All means all. Pick it up in 17. It says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them all their troubles. From all their troubles. See, that's what he does. 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. All means all. See, he is the delivering God. That's what he does. That's what he loves to do. It's his whole thing. You know, there's a thing in Corinthians, which I didn't write down, but it talks about him delivering from such a great death. He hath, he is, and he will continue to deliver. His will is always complete deliverance in our lives. And remember, he's the God of truth. He's the faithful God. He's the living and true God, and he's the God of deliverance. And he magnified this word above his name so that we would know in the depths of our hearts that we could stake our lives on the truth of it, because it's a wondrous work that nobody else can compare to. Go to Exodus, please. Verse 15. There's just so many wondrous things that Daddy tells us in His Word. And I'm just scratching the surface because each one of these things are a teaching and a study in and of itself. So I'm just, as they say, scratching the tip of the iceberg. But it's sure, I mean, fun. It's a joy to be able to look at the Scriptures and know who our Daddy is and to build on that in our hearts. Verse 26, please.
What chapter?
15. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. Whose voice? The voice of the Lord. That's God. That's what it says. The voice of the Lord thy God. And will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. See, He's the God that healeth. You know, remember, age of grace, guys. Stay with the age of grace. He's not going to put diseases and stuff on us. That's what Israel walked into. That's what they would, under conditions, under all that stuff, under the law. We have been, by His stripes, we're healed. You know, let's not get caught up in the Old Testament. Age of grace mentality. Psalms 147, please. Verse 3, He healeth. See, God healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. That's what He does, Psalms 107. You know, these are the things that we learn from the Word, who our Father is, or our Abba is. You know, His characteristics, His attributes, all these wonderful things, accomplishments that He keeps telling us about and reminding us about. That's who we're trusting in. That's who we go to in our prayers to the Abba. Verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, what a tremendous word. Remember earlier? It's the faithful word because He's the faithful God. Here, God's the healer. And He sent His word to heal. You know, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them. See, again, God of deliverance. You can't separate it. It's just one big, great package for us to understand and know. Go to Psalms 103. Verse 2 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth what?
All thy diseases.
All thy diseases. All of them. Not a few, but all. Right? So He is the God that delivers. He's the God that all diseases healeth. You know, what a tremendous Daddy we have. All these wonderful things that we're reading about to know Him and to put into our hearts. You know, go to Psalms 36. Verse 9 says, For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we shall see light. You know, He is the God of life. And we're going to see that huge, big time. You know, for with Him is the fountain of life. So where are you going to find the fountain of life? You got to go to the God of life. Because that's where it's all about. Go to John, please. Gospel of John, verse 3, or chapter 6, 3. I get excited. Stuff is wonderful stuff. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To have everlasting life. He's the God of life. You know, do a quick go back to Isaiah. Chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, Right? He just gave his son so that we could have everlasting life. Well, we get everlasting life from the everlasting God, the God of life. The Lord, the creators of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. You know, tremendous characteristics. He does not get tired of us, guys. He doesn't faint. He doesn't get weary of taking care of us. And his searching, you know, there is no searching of his understanding. His wisdom is so huge, so big. He just got the scoop on everything, so why go anywhere else? You know, except to the God of life. Go to 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 11. It says, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's a life or death situation, isn't it? Sure it is. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't, you don't have life. And that eternal life, that's what God gave. Everlasting life, eternal life. Go to Deuteronomy real quick. 33. Verse 27. It says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and thou shalt, and shall say, destroy them. But the eternal God is thy refuge. He gives eternal life. Well, why not? He's the eternal God. He's the everlasting God. So everlasting life. It's who he is. So he gives who he is, and we have that life eternal. And that life is in his Son. Remember, Jesus Christ poured out that Holy Spirit. That's what sealed us. That's what gave us that Abba relationship. Intimate. Go to Romans 6. The God of life. Verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. See, he's the God of life, and it's the newness of life. It's a new thing. It's cool. And he raised Jesus Christ, a new creation, and we're a new creation in Christ. So he has to tell us how to live this newness of life, how to walk in the greatness of it. And the best way I know how is to know him, to know what he's all about, what he's given us. In this wonderful word that he magnified above his name, that we may know. Know that we have newness of life. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. See, he gave us life. He quickened us. He made us alive. You know, Romans 8. Verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, that's what we think, that totality of new birth spirit. It's life. It's all life, and it's the newness of life that we're learning about. We'll close in Philippians, please. Chapter 2. It says, holding forth, in verse 16, it says, holding forth, I should be holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. But it's holding forth, or holding fast to that word of life. Why not be the word of life? He's the God of life, right? That's what we read. He's the God of life. He giveth life, eternal life. And that life is in that word. So when we share that word, when we hold fast to that word, it's life. It's life to us. You know, so he is that God of life. You know, he is the God that healeth. He's the God of great deliverance. He's the faithful God. He's the God of truth. He's the living and true God. As Jesus Christ said alone, he is the true God. And we have his word that he magnified above his name, that we continue to look at this stuff and just continually burn it into our hearts, this great God who is so great. We know him as Abba. We know him as all these wonderful things, these attributes, these characteristics, these accomplishments, and yet we get to call him Abba. Father, thank you for the greatness of your word, that you did magnify above your name, that you declare unto us those heartfelt thoughts, and those heartfelt thoughts is that we may know you and all those things that come with you, that you are truly the living and true God, that you are the faithful God, that you're the God of deliverance, the God that heals, the God of life, that we can stake our lives on all that you give us because you magnified that word and that word is truth. Thank you, Daddy, in Christ. Amen.
Yeah.